Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, so today we are going to be talking about physician-owned physical therapy practices. Brian and I are, well, we're not old, but like,
we're
definitely not new grads. Like, we've been out for 15 years.
And I call the Wedding Crashers Owen Wilson line. You know, he's sitting on the steps. We're the same age, by the way. He was 38 in that movie. We're in 38. And he literally goes, well, I'm still young. And Rachel McAdams turns to Owen Wilson and goes, we're not that young. That's how I describe our age.
So with that, when we came out of PT school, the big boogeyman was physician-owned physical therapy clinics. And now I think a lot of it is actually private equity is more of the boogeyman. If you look on LinkedIn, and I know, Brian, you've been talking a lot about this, you know, on your LinkedIn profile about, you know, the difference between, you know, ownership structures versus actually autonomy and what physical therapists can do. And today we wanted to kind of discuss, you know, when it comes down to ownership of a clinic, what, not just business owners who may be listening to this saying, okay, I have the opportunity to sell, who do I sell to make sure my patients still have the best possible outcome, but all the way down to like, if you're just looking for a job, right? Or you're saying, okay, how do I compete in my market? Right. And knowing, okay, physicians own that one, hospital owns this one, private equity firms. So we're going to talk a little bit about the physician-owned piece of this and some of the things that you might want to look out for if you are in a market, if you're an independent PT owner in a market saying, I got five physician-owned places all around me. What do I do? Right. Yeah. So Brian, kind of take us down, you know, what led to this conversation, the LinkedIn post that you had, what was some of the discussion around that?
Yeah, because it was a fascinating thing that got some interesting feedback in a couple of different directions, right? And as Owen had mentioned, like Owen brings it up, like private equity. For instance, I do not think private equity is the boogeyman because the true boogeyman, right? I think private equity is in everything. And I think that there's good and there's bad of that, right? There's just like there's good hospital systems and bad hospital systems, there's good private equity companies and there's bad private equity companies. There's all those out there, right? So the same thing, I know a lot of people said that, oh, there's good physician-owned practices and bad ones. I was like, just like there's good independent physical therapy places and bad ones, right? So, you know, this was more of a blanket statement around it and more around the idea of physician-owned physical therapy practices, aka physical, you know, physicians owning the physical therapy practice that you work at. That to me is like the crux of what we're looking at. And so this is the post I posted on LinkedIn. I'm going to read it quick and don't ask me to paraphrase this. Hopefully I'm not stumbling all over it as I read it. But here's what it said. How are we still okay with physician-owned physical therapy practices in 2026? I've been in the profession for over 15 years. I still can't believe this conversation hasn't meaningfully progressed. That's the key. Hasn't meaningfully progressed. Let's call it what it is. When physicians own physical therapy practices, they refer directly into them. It's not just vertical integration, right? It's an incentive structure. The incentive structure shapes behavior. This isn't about attacking physicians. It's about questioning a model that creates built-in conflicts of interest, aka the Stark Law that's never been fucking enforced anywhere of any kind, which is bonkers.
Ever.
So exactly. So let's
unless you get like $25 million dollars of Medicare fraud, then they start looking. It's like the Seatbelt Law.
Yeah, which is insane, right? Yeah. And because here's the uncomfortable reality. When the same entity controls the diagnosis, the referral, and the downstream rehab revenue, there's a financial incentive influencing clinical pathways, whether intentional or not. Meanwhile, independent private practices compete for referrals, compete on quality, compete on patient experience, and operate without guaranteed funnels. And yet, we're supposed to pretend that this is a level playing field. It's not. The long-term effect is suppressed reimbursement leverage. Yes, suppressed reimbursement leverage, and we're going to get into that. Reduced autonomy for PTs, which, again, could be good or bad in terms of, like, not just physician practices. That could be in hospital systems, etc. Consolidation of referral control, that's a biggie, right? And erosion of the profession's independence, which is to me the ethical thing, right? And as a physical therapist, this isn't anti-insurance, it isn't anti-collaboration, it's about professional autonomy. Physical therapy should stand on its own clinical value, not as an ancillary revenue arm. So that to me is the big piece. Again, let me reread that. Physical therapy should stand on its own clinical value, right? not as an ancillary revenue arm to anybody, right? That just shouldn't be something that we do. And if we want higher standards, stronger negotiating power, and more respect as autonomous providers, we need to talk about this more, not emotionally, strategically. Because if we don't address incentive structures, we'll keep fighting symptoms instead of systems. And then the backlash that I got on it was very, very impressive. So it was one of those things where then they led to this conversation. So let's break it down.
Well, let's go into some of those points, right? So you said reimbursement leverage, right? So what do you mean by that? Like, why? I mean, reimbursement is everybody gets the same contract from Cigna or Aetna or whatever insert insurance name here. Everyone gets together at the bar and says, how much are you getting paid? And pretty much everybody but the hospital PT says about the same number, right? Because they have the whole facility fee, even though they're in a strip mall. So like what do you mean by the reimbursement leverage aspect of why pops are affecting that?
So let's think about this, right? Let's break it down and let's think about the concept. So if we're thinking about reimbursement and trying to negotiate higher rates, why hospitals ultimately can negotiate those rates higher is because they see more patients, plain and simple. They bill more, right? And then obviously they have multi levels of service. So the reality is, if a physician is tied to a physical therapist, what ultimately ends up happening is they can get higher reimbursement rates because they can flood these clinics. So these clinics are seeing, there's 12 physical therapists, 15 physical therapists in one location in a small city or small town. Ultimately, they can jack up their insurance rates. And then when anybody else, if anybody's ever been in insurance and anybody's been a small practice, like for instance, say Owen said, tomorrow I'm taking insurance and I'm going to go call Blue Cross Blue Shield and Cigna and Aetna and all these guys. Some of them could say, hey, sorry, our network isn't open in your area. That's what they'll say. And so now you can't just jump in with those guys, right? It took time for us to get into different insurance companies and work with different insurance companies and actually have them, accept us as a provider. And so the reality is, when you're looking at this, if physicians have more power in what they control through patient volume and the insurances that are accepted at other people's clinics, I don't know what to tell you guys. That's fucking 101. They're controlling the leverage that we have on reimbursement, right? So like it,
Yeah.
that's the biggest thing I'm talking about here.
They can control volume in an area, and I do remember from my insurance days, that was one of the major negotiating levers that we had was that look, we see X patients per year across all of our clinics. You need to give us more. And you can negotiate that way and get a higher rate than maybe, like you said, if I was to just take insurance out of the gym.
100%. And that's the reality. And the reality is, so for you, so this also is the reason for why cash-based physical therapy exists for the solo provider. Because the reality for the solo provider is, if I wanted to take all these insurances anyway, it'd be very difficult to do that, because a lot of these insurance companies will say, sorry, basically you're not big enough. And they won't say it that way. They'll just say, our network is currently closed. We're not accepting new providers at this time. That's what they'll say.
Or they'll
And
pay you $60 and they pay everyone else 75.
1000%. And in the hospitals, they'll pay them $200, $300 a visit, right? And do PT see any of that money? Absolutely not, by the way. Right. So when you think about that concept, that is a physician. And again, I'm going to call physician-owned clinics just because I think it's the easiest thing to do. But I would also say this is my big bugaboo with hospital systems as well. Right. Any place where, because I know the hospital systems here very much do the same thing where they are pushing constantly for their physicians to refer in-house. People don't give a shit about these Stark laws because no one enforces them. And the reality is, because if you can prove, hey, well, look, all these people went to other places, it's like, yeah, I get it, but that doesn't mean the conversation isn't happening that's violating that law and creating incentive for that law either.
Well,
So.
so to go based on that, and I think a lot of this discussion basically is like, how are the independent small guys getting screwed, right? And a lot of people who listen to this who are PT owners, they're independent small guys,
For
right?
sure.
And if you so private equity is a way that, and especially if it's private equity that's like all physical therapists, right? So like I think USPT, Athletico, whatever, that will go and buy like a five clinic company or a two clinic company and just kind of piece them all together. Part of the reason they do that is because then they can negotiate a rate within the state for, and that clinic owner will now automatically get 10 more bucks for BCBS or something, right?
Huge.
Because it's now an Athletico company, right? Hospitals doing the same thing. It's economics of scale. And the nice thing with hospitals is they have much better, because you talk to Athletico, they don't have lobbyists, so they can't do facility fees. Whereas hospitals, fantastic lobbyists, right? And then I think the in between of that, right, is the physician owned. I think that's that when we were coming out, hospitals weren't nearly as like health systems all over the place as they are now. They aren't nearly as consolidated. And really, physician-owned practices where you had 20 surgeons and they were 20 of the 25 in your city. Well, okay, everyone's the other 10 practices in the city are fighting over the other five physicians. And I think that economies of scale thing really does hurt smaller practices. But I think from a PT and like a well-being of the patient standpoint, the physician-owned part kind of gets you because of the autonomy. And I think the fact that I know now there's a hospital system here that they had a leakage number. And what that meant was and it was 91%, 91% of their referrals from physicians needed to be to their own physical therapy practices, right? And those physicians were told that number. And that is a massive violation of the Stark Law.
For sure.
But biggest hospital in the city, massive, they own all the politicians, no one's investigating it, right? They did it at a massive conference that they were recording at, and they still didn't care. And the issue there is, what happens the other way, right? What happens if the surgeons I'm working for kind of suck? They're not the best ACL surgeons. They see 40, 50 people a day, and I want to send to the guy down the street who's awesome. Well, I don't know. I've never worked for a POPS clinic, but I'm sure you would have a very hard time at the next staff meeting if they find out, oh, every knee injury that goes to Owen goes to the competitor, right? And that's not what I went to school for. I went to school physician. I specifically wasn't a physician's assistant because I didn't want to have that. I wanted to be able to say, screw you, that guy sucks, go here. So I think that autonomy piece is another big thing he brought up, where like the POPS clinics really kind of mess with the actual care side of that.
I also think if you think about it, man, which is kind of bonkers here, but when you think about physicians, I know lots of private physicians that are also getting screwed in these systems too, right? These big hospital systems, these big physician-owned practices. Imagine being a solo physician. Right? You're a solo orthopedic surgeon down the road. Well, I've heard plenty of stories where they're like, listen, we're not going to squeeze you out, but your operating hours at this hospital are now 7 p.m. on Fridays. Right? And so all of a sudden, you got these different types of things where it's like, they're going to give you all the worst hours, right? Or you can join us, which will give you this, blah, blah, blah. And people sell out, right? So the reality of the situation is, I just was very shocked. About kind of like the pushback on some of it to give some people some ideas. So if there's some people who are thinking about it, you know, I think one big thing that I saw, and this is just somebody, I'm not going to call him out by name, but I think this is the problem because I see this is the first line. Respectfully, I think the physician ownership is a small peanut of a problem in comparison to what we have been going on in 2026. Someone else wrote here, oh, the system is the system. It's not going to change. And so the reality is, I think that's part of the problem on our side. And so what I was trying to make as a point to, as a counter argument to this is it doesn't really matter. And again, someone wrote this beautifully. APTA was cool with letting MDs have PT as part of their practice within their practice. PTs are allowed direct access as their win, right? So it's like basically what they said is they can come directly to us. So who cares? We can own you still. And like it's kind of interesting to see you know the backlash on some of this, and I think more of it is kind of an ostrich effect, like let me stick my head in the sand and that just is what it is, and not in the sense of like none of the sense of I mean look, I think a lot of physical therapists on here are talking also about we have to create more value and we've got to be directly in the community and we got to do X, Y, and Z thing, blah, blah, blah. Understandable. I understand that, and if you've listened to the other 100 plus episodes of this podcast, you know that's what we preach all the time. However, I'm mainly pointing out how the hell is this dialogue not continued at the same capacity, right? Somehow it changed to insurances are the boogeyman, PE's the boogeyman. It's like what a massive, like masterful sleight of hand that has been done here, right? I mean, a big one for us would be just like I think about Delaware, and again, I'll read the Delaware laws and double check it before we talk about it right now. But I'm aware of a lot of the places that are in that are there's several states that have this as is illegal, and one of which is my parents live there, which is in Delaware. And in Delaware, I see private practices all over the place, all over the place there, right? Because what happens is physicians can't own those places. Mainly because physical therapists are it's illegal. It feels like so people are like, would you do about it? I go, I'd make it illegal that physical therapists can't be there. That's
Yeah,
it. That you can't work for them.
it's
And
true.
guess what? Now it's done. Because now the reality is they don't have any way of actually delivering the care. So it is on us. We can make it that simple. Your point about APTA not doing anything, the APTA got rid of big acts that we're dropping this law that basically says you lose your license if you work for a physician. Guess what?
Yeah.
All 50 states overnight just became illegal with physician-owned clinics. Boom, done. And that doesn't finish the hot, like, because I also think, like, you can't really go after the hospital systems in general, even though I know they pull the same shenanigans. But the reality with the hospital is, like, we also, that's something that needs care, right? They need the, there's people who are in emergency rooms and other situations. Like, when we had the COVID epidemic, didn't, they weren't coming to independent PT places. They weren't going there. They were going to the hospitals. And PTs were on the front lines fighting that thing. So, again, I'm not trying to suggest that we go after the hospitals just yet in that scenario. I do think there's some behavior that could change, but nevertheless. So go ahead, Owen. I don't
Well,
mean to interrupt you.
the only thing that I don't love about the hospitals is just the preferred reimbursement
Yeah.
for facility fees, which makes sense. If you have like this massive sports clinic, right? There's one down the street from us where the hospitals really spend a lot of money on probably at a massive loss for the PT department. Because I mean, they're getting reimbursement rates, but they're not getting that much. They're probably paying for it with MRIs and surgeries and all this other stuff. I mean, reimbursement for physical therapy is only like 2% of healthcare expenditures. So like they're probably paying it for something else. It's a loss leader. And I get that. That's great. You know, like you've created this facility, but then you really shouldn't get it for the PT clinic that's in a strip mall in the suburbs, right? There's no facility to that. That's just another branch that they just slap a name on there and they do it. So, you know, that I get, right? And even just, you know, outlawing like physician-owned practices, I think. And again, the problem would be we just need way more resources to police it, right? There are
Yeah.
some great physicians that they really do have good, you know, ownership and they're great leaders and they let the PTs do what they want. They don't come down on them for all this stuff. They're like, look, I just want to have it under my roof so I can make sure that the protocols are what I want or whatever, which again, we can get into the autonomy discussion of that, but whatever, right? But then, of course, there's also those ones where it's like, hey, I want this guy 3 times a week for the next 4 months, and I'm going to keep reinforcing that at every one of my physician follow-up visits. And if you don't do that, we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
That's where the ethical stuff comes in.
For
And
sure. I
that's
mean,
where I think states like Delaware have a good reasoning to say, look, this is not in the patient's best interest.
yeah, let me read this real quick because I think it's fascinating. I'm going to end it with this piece because I think this is a quick Google search for Delaware, right? Physicians cannot own a physical therapy practice in Delaware due to the state laws established in 1983, designed to prohibit physician-owned physical therapy services or POPS clinics, right? This legislation prevents a significant conflict of interest where a physician could profit from referring patients to a clinic they own, ensuring patient care decisions are not influenced by financial gain. It's that simple. Now, key reasons of the prohibition: conflict of interest, similar restrictions against doctors owning pharmacies. Delaware law prevents physicians from profiting from referrals to physical therapy services. Trust relationship: the law is intended to protect the trust relationship between the patient and the referring physician, which can be compromised if the doctor benefits financially from their therapy. Right? Perfect. Legislation active action. Since 1983, Delaware has prohibited physical therapists from working in situations where the services are referred by a physician who has financial interest in that practice. And then here's the kicker. I love this last line. While orthopedic doctors have sought to change this, the prohibition remains in place to prevent for profit referral situations. So why, ask yourself this, if in all honesty, why would orthopedic doctors sought to change this law?
They
No
want to
physical
control the
therapist.
whole,
Hell
they
yeah.
want to control the whole thing. Yeah.
For fucking money. That's what it comes down
Yeah.
to. And so when we think about like the insurance game, insurances, by the way, like big companies are all in Delaware because they know they can reimburse, they can increase the reimbursement rates Be and it's and again, think about how private equity would find this. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense if you have a practice in Delaware to expand into Delaware, because the reality in that state is if we can expand in Delaware, we know there's not physician-owned practices, or it's very, I shouldn't say we, I mean, I guess unless orthopedic doctors somehow did actually get that changed. In theory, what we could do, we could build a physical therapy practice quite big. We know we could talk with doctors. We can create, these physician relationships. We'll get these referrals. Pretty straightforward. Bing, bang, boom. Then we can sell to private equity, and the private equity can expand it. It's a much more stable system, and it allows it to be more stable, be better patient care, and we make more money as a profession. Shocker. And why? And again, and when we look at orthopedic doctors want to change that, it's because they want to make more money off of us. So I think that's the relationship I'm trying to talk about. Is like, to me, I don't understand why people are okay with not talking about this more, right?
Well, and that's it. When you're in, the frog in the water doesn't really realize the temperature raises, right?
Yep.
Like if you've practiced in this and we've done this, we've interviewed people when they were at a POPS clinic and they would say like, well, yeah, I mean, he's got shoulder pain. So obviously he needs 3 times a week for like 3 months because that's a rotator cuff. You don't know what's going to go wrong with that. Or, oh, he definitely needs, 3 times a week for 8 weeks because, he's got the spine of an 80-year-old, right?
Yeah.
And you're just like, Jesus Christ, no, he doesn't. He needs like 3 sessions of you actually listening to him and figuring out a problem, and then he can go on his merry way. But it was, again, the system is, yeah, doctor told you to do this. I'm gonna carry out his wishes or her wishes, right?
100%.
So yeah, I mean, it's one of the few places where, I mean, yes, you can talk about private equity and, in terms of the mill model, and is this what, one person will say, well, we should practice at the top of our license. We don't need to be handing them TheraBand. We should be doing five reevals every 2 hours, right? And then the other person would say, no, you got to spend a whole bunch of time with the patient watching them do every single inch of the exercise. And if it's not one-on-one, you're a loser, right?
Yeah.
But that's just choosing how to practice, right? When it comes to getting a recommendation from a doctor and then having somebody else externally say, you didn't do what I told you to do, that is influencing that care, right?
Hundred
And
percent.
that is acting outside of the patient's best interest, right? And that's where I think it's, again, I agree with you. If it would be much nicer. Now, again, I don't know the state politics of Delaware. I don't know if it happened in 1980 because they were smart in 1980 and now it would never get through in any of the bigger states. But yeah, the fact that orthopedic doctors don't want that to happen, I doubt it's because, well, we want to ensure a much more quality rehab program under our roof that we can pay attention to. Like, dude, there's a cell phone. I can fucking text you. It's fine.
All under one roof. We can wander down and talk with you about what's going on. Yeah, full of shit.
Yes, because the amount of orthopedic doctors that think they're also like trained in rehab. My
Exactly.
God.
It's such fucking nonsense. So, I mean,
My
that's it.
doctor said you shouldn't be pushing me so hard. I'm like,
Exactly.
okay. Like,
Exactly. It's
whatever.
so ridiculous. So anyway, I think that's a big piece of it. And so I was just fascinated by the conversation, thought it'd be not really even a mentorship thing or talking about it. I just thought it was an interesting thing to chat about and put on the pod here, and then we could
Nah,
drop
dude,
it.
that's why we started this, is because
Yeah,
we literally were
exactly.
having phone calls bitching about this on our way home, and then we're like, well,
Exactly.
whatever, we should just put a
Let's record it.
podcast
That's the way people can listen to our bitching together and they can be all fired up about it.
out. Hey, a few people have been like, dude, you're totally right, bro.
I know, exactly.
I love it.
Exactly.
I love it. All
Cool.
right. So, my friend, we are done. You got
See ya.
anything else to add?
That's it, man.
No, we're
That's
good.
it, and
All
that's
right.
all. Cool.
Oh, also, yeah, join our group, physio-growth.com. We're smart. You should listen to us. You'll
Yeah.
get better.
If you want to beat the Pop Zone clinics, join our group and we'll help you do it.
We have one of our
Physio-growth.com.
students has 4 interviews in the last 2 weeks because she started doing something we told her to do.
Yeah.
But you could go pay like $20,000 a year for that advice. Anyway,
Exactly.
see ya.
See ya.